This is NASCAR driver Tony Breidinger inviting you to make a pit stop at Raising Cane's for my favorite craveable chicken fingers. Turbocharge your order and get it even faster when you order online or with the Raising Cane's app. Raising Cane's chicken fingers, one love. Raising Cane's is not affiliated with NASCAR.
Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
Back and better than ever, Greeny presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the Goodyear Hotline coming up. Best question of the NFL weekend. World Series starts tonight. Unsolicited advice for quarterbacks everywhere. And Hembo thinks I'm getting old. All that and more, let's go.
Here we go!
Only one place to start.
And that one place to start is with my buddy Rob Ninkovich, who hangs around to give us the Straight Talk. Brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Graziano had to run to an appointment, but Ninko sticks around with me here after Get Up. And we just finished the TV show, Ninkovich, and I just wonder if you agreed with my take at the very end of the show that I believe the Jets are going to be so impressive Sunday against the Falcons that the Queen is actually going to come to the game and she's going to knight Zach Wilson on the field. He will be Sir Zach by the time they make it back to the States.
I knight thee. I don't know if she really cares about the Jets.
Don't be ridiculous. Of course she cares about the Jets. How in the world, if you're the Queen all this time, how could you not care about the Jets?
I think she has other things to do, maybe.
The owner of the Jets was the ambassador to the United Kingdom for all those years.
Does that mean that she has to go then?
I don't know. Maybe Woody will call her up and just say, hey, come on by. Watch the Jets play.
Come watch the rookie quarterback throw five picks. No, I'm kidding.
Come on. This one shapes up nicely for the Jets to put together a little winning streak.
They're going to win. They're going to win in this one. I'd pick the Jets. So, yeah, I think last week maybe they can ride this momentum here. And the one thing I would say, I played in London three times. Mm-hmm. It can be a little bit of a pain when you're traveling and you have to get there and you're practicing there. And it's a little bit of a distraction, I would say.
But for both teams, right?
Both teams are in it. And I was there actually for the first London game with Miami, it was the first time it was the Miami Dolphins versus the New York Giants.
Yeah.
And it was definitely different. And a lot of people there, it was weird because you hear it's almost like you're at a soccer game. There's whistles, there's cowbells. Just, you see every jersey imaginable. Everybody's in a different jersey. So it's not just one team or the other team has a jersey. It's every team of the 32 NFL teams, there's every different color. Whoever has a jersey in the NFL in London, they're just like, I'll put on the jersey. Yeah, I'm going to go to the game.
And the plays the fans get excited about are the kicks.
Yeah.
Right? Every time the ball is kicked, they love it.
Well, I would say this. I was at a pub there, and they were asking me about playing in Wembley. It was like sacred ground.
Right.
You touch the grass. Yes. How does the grass feel? What does it feel like? And it's actually very slippery because it's clay. It's a clay base. It's for soccer. It's not made for American football.
Right.
So I remember just sliding around and slipping and having to put inch cleats in my cleats and worried that I was going to tear my ACL. But anyway, I made it through and we lost.
I'm delighted to see that you made it through. And again, he will be Sir Zach by the time they get back.
United.
We will have your opportunity a little later in the program to be a part of Greeny Nation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line, ESPN Nation, presented by Dr. Pepper. College football's back, so are the fans. Return to glory with Fansville by Dr. Pepper, the one that fans deserve. All right, let's dive into some of this. Most of the times that you've been on this radio show lately has been to talk about Justin Fields and the Bears. You are the pride of Joliet, Illinois. Every Bears fan now has got what they want. Justin has been named the starter. No ifs, ands, or buts. It begins this Sunday against Vegas. What should it look like?
High school football, backyard football. Go have fun. And you have to maximize. And I'm not saying high school football and making that as a negative comment. I'm saying use his tools to your advantage. His ability to get out of the pocket, his ability to run. It's really hard as a defensive end to stop a quarterback that's mobile, and it's really, really hard to cover if you're in the secondary beyond 3 seconds. So the advantage that Justin has as a mobile quarterback, and he's not a runner. He's not like Lamar where he's looking to run or they have design running plays with him. They could use him outside of the pocket, dash pass, boots, move the pocket plays where you're taking advantage of his ability to move in the pocket and then throw down the field, because covering is so hard once the quarterback gets out of the pocket. You can't play man coverage because the second you're in man coverage, your backs are turned to the quarterback. You have to use a spy. I've been a spy before, and usually that spy guy, if it's a linebacker, is a disadvantage against a guy that athletic. He's going to be able to juke you, and usually there's only one guy doing that. So You have to play zone. And what do you do in zone? You run zone beaters. So I think that if they can simplify the offense to maximize his talents, it's going to help the Bears.
Here's the frightening thing about it. For anyone who didn't watch Justin Fields in college, he's not a running quarterback. Mm-hmm. He's a quarterback who can run.
Yes.
And when he runs, he's obviously a very dangerous weapon. But that is not his calling card. Here's what scares me about this game if I'm them. The Bears may have the worst offensive line in the league.
That's scary.
I can't. And against this defense?
That's scary.
The Raiders with that pass rush? I mean, they have wrecked some games up there. And that is, to me, the piece of this thing that scares me.
Well, when you have a poor offensive line, the best thing you can do is move the pocket. Get him out of the pocket so he's not a sitting duck back there. So if they can do that, if they can get him out of the pocket, they have an opportunity to possibly win this football game. With that defense, with the Bears' defense, if they can play at a high level, there's a chance.
Greeny presented by Progressive Insurance. Save when you bundle auto, home, or motorcycle insurance. Visit progressive.com. I think the most interesting game, there are a lot of really good games on the schedule this weekend, but Buffalo at Kansas City, to me, is a very big one because despite the unspectacular start the Chiefs are off to, I think we all still perceive them as the team to beat. Like, if you're going, you know, the whole thing, if you're going to become the champ, you got to beat the champ. If the Bills are going to knock them off, then my gut feeling, if the Bills are going to do it, they're going to have to beat Kansas City in Kansas City. Can they do it Sunday night?
I think it's going to be really tough. Can they do it? Of course. They can do it. But will they do it? I'm picking Kansas City in this matchup. This is going to come down to possibly a playoff situation where they are going to see each other again. So it might be better for them to go on the road, learn what that stadium's about. They've been there, learning against the Kansas City Chiefs and the things that they're great at. And we know that they're an explosive offense. We know that they have Tyreek. We know they have Kelsey. We know Patrick Mahomes is terrific. So the Buffalo Bills defense, they're going to have to, number one, completely shut down the run.
Yeah.
No running game. And they're also going to have to take out not just one player. That's the hard part with Kansas City. You can't just say, usually in a game plan, you circle one guy. Circle him.
Mm-hmm.
We have to take this guy out of the game plan. We have to double this guy every single play.
Uh-huh.
Kansas City has too many weapons. They have too many guys that you have to say we need to double. So what do you try to do? Take Tyreek out? Okay, double team Tyreek. But then they have Kelsey. Then they have other players that could potentially go out there and ruin it for you. So when I look at this matchup, it's a terrific matchup, but I'm going with Kansas City.
I get it. I understand that. And this is still the way we perceive the Chiefs, and I don't blame you because I do too.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is, all right, they shellacked the Eagles last week. The Eagles are not very good.
Yep.
The other team in all three of their other games was the better team on the field. And the Browns gave that game away against them. Baker throws a terrible pick at the end, and they drop a snap on a punt. And then the other two games, they lose. They lose to the Chargers. They don't look like the better team out there much. So is it the defense? What is it with Kansas City that has been so unspectacular?
I think that they're a team also that they're like a snowball and they're going to get better and better. And not to say that in the beginning of the year, you really don't want to be at your best week 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah.
You want to learn, get better. Okay, we're settling down here. Every team is giving them their best shot, and that's another thing people don't understand. When you go to play Kansas City, you're measuring yourself accordingly. You have to think that the Browns going into that matchup are like, okay, we are considered a contending team this year, and we look like we're going to be a better team. Well, this is the team, Kansas City, we need to go and beat. And one play, basically, that's every single weekend, is one play away from winning and losing. And when I look at Kansas City, their defense, yes, they need to play better defensively. But with the amount of the potency offensively for scoring, just scoring alone, points alone, you win the game by scoring points. And they can score as quick as anybody. They're probably the most efficient team offensively in the NFL. They're number one in offense efficiency, which means every time they touch the football, they move it down the field on you. So if Buffalo has any chance in this matchup, they're going to have to stop the run and make them one-dimensional.
One more for you. We'll make this one Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. I'm going to give you the credit. I've lost my Bubba. I'm not getting this here. All right, for whatever reason, my soundboard is not working. We have a lot of things not working up here on our set at this moment, which I apologize for. But you did come up with a... Okay, there you go. go. It would be nice if that was working the first time, but whatever. My question to you is, or it's not even a question because you're the one who gave the answer. Zeke Elliott and Tony Pollard could both wind up rushing for 1,000 yards each this year. If that happens, it'll be the first time a team has had two 1,000-yard rushers since?
2019.
Which was?
Lamar and Mark Ingram.
Lamar Jackson and Mark Ingram. The last time it happened, it wasn't even two running backs. It was Lamar Jackson in Baltimore rushing for 1,000 yards and Ingram rushing for 1,000 yards. So we'll see. The Cowboys feel like they could be on pace to do that. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Always such a pleasure. Thank you, my friend, for sticking around.
Thank you. Thank you.
Always appreciate it. Rob Ninkovich, have a terrific weekend. We are just getting started on this Football Friday. Coming up next, my unsolicited advice. I hope every quarterback is listening. Don't miss it. Right after this, it's Greeny on ESPN Radio.
Greeny, the podcast.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This is a perfect opportunity for you to try some active listening.
Unsolicited advice.
All right, this drives me insane. So I'm in the car this morning. I'm coming down to work, and I'm going through the stories. And like everybody else, I have noticed that Baker Mayfield is not off to a great start this year. His team is 3-1, and their one loss was a game they probably could have won against Kansas City. So it hasn't been a disastrous start by any means. But they've not been as good as I thought they'd be. They're my AFC Super Bowl pick. And I've been wondering why, in particular, Mayfield has been so unspectacular. And then, Hembo, I got the answer. According to our Jake Trotter, Mayfield has been playing with a partially torn labrum. He suffered that injury to his non-throwing shoulder while trying to make a tackle in the game against the Texans. He's been wearing a shoulder harness ever since. Now, let's be clear. Some things are excuses, and other things are reasons. It is not an excuse to say Baker Mayfield is not playing well right now because of his shoulder injury. It is the reason he's not playing well. And this is not to offer a defense of Baker Mayfield, quite the opposite. This is to offer the most fervent criticism of him that I possibly can. He doesn't listen to me. I have been saying this for years. The minute there is a turnover, every quarterback should do one of two things. If no one is near him, he should run directly to the closest sideline and stay there safely out of bounds, even if it is the other team's sideline, until the play is over. And then even after the play is over, count one Mississippi, two Mississippi, before you run back to your own bench. Because defense's job, when the ball is turned over, is to hunt out the quarterback and hit him as hard as they can. The other option for the quarterback, when there is a turnover, if it is not safe, meaning if there are players between himself and the sideline, is to immediately drop to the ground and curl up in a little ball, like in a fetal position, and just remain there safely out of harm's way. This is because they will not enact the Greeny rule, which I've been begging Roger for years on my shows. And you know the Greeny rule. There should be a helicopter hovering above the playing surface of every NFL game. And the moment there is a turnover, a rope ladder should drop down right where the quarterback is standing and he should be whisked away to safety like he's Tom Cruise in Mission Impossible. It is that simple. There is no play in any regular season game until the very end of the season if it is literally make this play or miss the playoffs. There is no play worth your quarterback getting hurt. Did you see the play where Mayfield got hurt? He gets trucked. He goes running at the guy who intercepted the ball, and he gets knocked into oblivion. He couldn't tackle that guy if you gave him like a, I don't even know what. So, A, it's a fool's errand, but B, and worse, it's the biggest mistake a quarterback can make. And I cite as evidence Andy Dalton. 2015. Dalton and the Bengals are having a great year, not a good year. Dalton was having by far the best year of his career. They're going to win the division. They're going to be a real force to be reckoned with. Andy Dalton is going to rewrite his entire professional legacy. And what does he do? He throws a terrible interception. He gets mad. He goes in there to try and make a ridiculous tackle. He breaks his hand. He never came back. A.J. McCarron started a playoff game for the Cincinnati Bengals against their arch-rival Steelers because Andy Dalton broke his hand trying to make a tackle. Quarterbacks should be nowhere near any unnecessary danger. There is a reason the league is protecting them the way they are. The teams need them. The league needs them. The fans need them. No quarterback should make a tackle. Hembo, am I right or am I wrong?
I hate to admit this, but you are definitely right. Even if there is a 0.1% chance that your quarterback is going to suffer an injury like this, it's not worth him chasing the player. I think you're right, though, that there needs to be a clause in a certain kind of situation where he is allowed. The difference between a win and a loss, the difference between making or missing the playoffs. But you cited Baker Mayfield, you cited Andy Dalton. They were 10-2 that year at the time. They were 10-2. It happened that year also with Jay Cutler in Chicago, you might recall. He hurt himself trying to make a tackle. So that, I think 2015 was the year. I think you probably put this into ether. But I'm with you. If I lost my quarterback because of that, I'd be livid.
Yes, of course. Because the idiots among us we'll say, hey, Greeny, there was that playoff game where Ben Roethlisberger made a tackle against the Colts because the guy was otherwise going to run it back for Yes, obviously, I'm not talking about that. Obviously, if the quarterback needs to make a tackle or his team is going to lose in the playoffs, that skews the equation. Baker Mayfield partially tore his labrum making a tackle in the second game of the season against the Texans. They could beat the Texans with me playing quarterback. They were going to win that game a million. What was the final score of that game?
I'll take a million. It was before halftime. It was a totally meaningless play.
It was a totally meaningless play. What happens is two things happen. One, the quarterbacks get mad. They just threw a pick. They're mad. They're frustrated. I get it. Two, they feel a need to show everyone how tough they are. That's not what I need. I don't need Baker Mayfield to show me how tough he is. Baker, show me how tough you are by shaking off a tackler and running for a critical first down. Do not make a tackle on defense. What was the final score of that game?
They only won that game by 10. It was 31-21.
Okay.
Closer than I remember.
They would have won that game anyway.
For sure.
And you know what? Had they not, and Baker Mayfield was playing great, that would still be preferable.
But don't you think the coaches are telling him not to chase, and then when you get mad and you do it anyway? Like, that's... It's just human nature, is it not, to chase down the guy that you just threw the ball to?
Perhaps. But you have to, there's a lot of things that are human nature that we don't do, and this needs to be one of them. Bubba, many people may not know this, but before Bubba's extraordinarily successful career in radio production, Bubba was actually a quarterback coach of great repute in the NFL, and that's why he wears Dak Prescott's jersey, because Dak, in a private moment, Dak will attribute so much of his success to Bubba and Bubba's coaching and teaching and wisdom. So, Bubba, do you agree or disagree with my premise?
Oh, yeah, 100% agree. It's just not worth it. And, yeah, I mean, forget human nature. You just tell these quarterbacks, listen, bro, you just don't do it. And that's all you got to tell them.
Nuno, agree or disagree?
You're completely wrong.
How in the world am I wrong?
Because you're out there. It's human nature.
Daniel Jones making tackles.
Daniel Jones ain't making any tackles. Let me just tell you, because he's not throwing any picks. We'll get to that later.
Yeah.
We'll fumble it.
Hey,
This is a quarterback who I believe leads the NFL in turnovers over the last several years. I know he's gotten better at it, but go on.
No, it happens. What do you want to do? Like, at that point, then you know what you do? You tell one of your offensive linemen, like, listen, if he throws a pick, go and tackle him.
You tackle him.
You tackle him.
Yes.
Do it that way. Like, maybe that one will work a little bit better.
But even then, he might get hurt. Again, what's the matter with my helicopter idea? And I've talked to Roger about this, and he just won't do it. You know? I mean, he just won't do it. There should be a rope ladder that hovers above the field, and we just whisk the quarterback away to safety. You could sponsor it. I mean, there's a money-making opportunity here. Everything in the world about this makes sense, and the fact that Nuno disagrees with it actually only makes me feel better about it. You know, airlines, restaurants, and more have been ramping up their hiring. You know who they turn to? ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter's technology finds qualified candidates for your job, and you can easily invite your top choices to apply. Right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Greeny. Okay, next.
Greeny's Takes.
It is time to rethink what we think about Daniel Jones. Did you know Daniel Jones is no longer turnover prone? It is so hard to shed a reputation. What is that expression? You never get a second chance to make a first impression. Like, the world thinks of Daniel Jones as being a turnover machine. Because the end of last season, as he was getting better and better about not turning the football over, then he ruins all of that by turning the ball over in a critical spot week one this year against Denver. And essentially, we overlook the fact that he hasn't turned it over since. He has two turnovers on the season. The other was an interception on a Hail Mary. He doesn't turn it over. He's only turned it over 5 times in the last 12 games. And you know what else he does? He plays great. Daniel Jones' QBR is top 10 in the sport. His team's not winning, so people aren't paying attention to it. But if you came into this season with the question, is Daniel Jones capable of being a good NFL quarterback? Should he be the quarterback of the Giants going forward? The answer is yes. Let me ask my Giant fan, my vice president of Giants Insight, Nuno, is the answer yes, in your opinion, on Daniel Jones?
It's getting there. It is getting there. I do believe this game, for me, while I don't think they will win it because they're not good enough, I do still need to see that next step. It's, hey, you're going to be under a lot of pressure. Don't, you know, like, if when you get sacked, don't lose the ball. You know, don't throw it to Diggs, that type of thing. If he can build on it, I will finally get to the yes, Daniel Jones is the QB of the future, and you don't need to worry about it.
You know, the perception is not, I don't even necessarily mean this in that regard now about Jones. The New York Giants lost a division game this year because a player who plays directly in the middle of the defensive line, meaning he has no chance of bursting through and blocking a field goal attempt. His entire job on that play is just to stand straight up and jump as high as he can and try and block a field goal that way. That player tried to time a snap, jumped off sides, and gave Washington a second kick at a field goal that ultimately beat them. If that one play doesn't happen, the Giants are 2-2 right now, and everything feels different. This would be a game for first place in the division with the Giants going to Dallas. It changes everything. I also can't prove to you that if that play doesn't happen, they beat Atlanta the following week, but I think they would have.
They outplayed Atlanta anyway.
So one way or another, the Giants are better than their record. Bart Scott was on Get Up yesterday picking the Giants to win that game outright and singing the praises of Daniel Jones. So that brings us to the wager. We got Bubba, the Cowboy fan. We have Nuno, the Giant fan. Bubba, what are you willing to wager with Nuno on the outcome of this game?
Well, I don't think it's up to me because I've said I'm ready to go here. I got confidence in my team. I'm ready for a jersey bet or whatever, but we were talking pre-show, and this guy said he's not betting on his team. He has no confidence in his team. He wants points, whatever. He doesn't want to do it. So I don't think it's up to me.
What is the line on this game?
The Giants are a touchdown underdog.
Okay. So, Nuno, how many points would you need from Bubba in order to be willing to make this bet for your beloved Big Blue?
First of all, I don't like to bet on my team anyway, even when they're good. And they're not good. So that's saying, if Bubba wants to give me 10.5.
10.5?
Oh, my
10
God.
And a half. He's asking for a field goal more than the spread.
More than the line? That's such a joke. No, you can't. If you're a fan of the team, you don't bet the line. You don't gerrymander the spread. You bet it straight up. Come on. I wore like the stupid Cowboys hat after the Cowboys beat the Eagles a couple of weeks back, and the Eagles had no chance to win that game.
Some would say that it improved your look, but most importantly, I understand that my team's not good. Like, I don't live in this world that they can compete with them. The Giants are starting to develop. You know, they have some weapons, but they're still not on the Cowboys level.
That's an interesting one, because all of a sudden the Cowboys are the team we believe in. Candidly, I agree with him. I think Dallas wins the game. Hey, Matt Stafford was in the zone last night, threw for 365 yards as the Rams beat Seattle in a game that was mostly notable for Russell Wilson hurting his finger. He wasn't making a tackle. He smashed his hand into the arm of Aaron Donald, and that's a huge question mark now, is when, if and when Wilson is able to come back. One way or another, though, it was Stafford who was in the zone, which is brought to you by AutoZone. Get in the zone with AutoZone. Next order of business. I'm ready to go right now.
Green light, green light with Greeny. Give me the
green light. And I'm giving myself the green light because I have a bone to pick with Hembo. And I say it this way because any issue I have with baseball, I blame on you.
Let's go.
Hembo is the vice president of baseball conversation on this program. But Nuno and Bubba, I particularly want to ask your opinion on this. Randy Arozarena, now he had an unbelievable night last night. He stole home in a postseason game. It is the first straight steal of home in a postseason game since Jackie Robinson in the 55 World Series in one of the most famous plays in baseball history. Yogi Berra, to his dying day, insisted Robinson was out. There obviously was no instant replay in 1955. But Yogi Berra, literally, there was a picture of that at Yankee Stadium, and the famous story is that every time Berra walked past that picture, he would say, "You're out." Like, Berra never got over the fact that they called Jackie safe. That's not the point. Arozarena steals home last night. Awesome. He had a home run. He was remarkable. It, in fact, and so I want to read this for you. Arozarena, comma, the leading candidate for American League Rookie of the Year, comma, made history Thursday by becoming the blah, blah, blah. It then goes on to point out the 26-year-old outfielder set postseason records with 10 home runs and 29 hits in last year's postseason. And here's what I would say. Being a rookie means you cannot have done anything twice. If he is appearing in his second postseason, he cannot be the Rookie of the Year. Your Rookie of the Year cannot have set various postseason records as he did last year with 10 home runs and 29 hits in 20 playoff games last year. There is no way he should be considered a rookie. Hembo.
I don't understand here. So his rookie eligibility did not expire last season. He played only a few games in the regular season, and it's a regular season distinction. So
why is it a regular season distinction? You're not a rookie in the playoffs?
You are still a
rookie.
You're
not playing major league games? You're playing the most important major league games. He played 20 games in the playoffs.
It has to do with
how many regular season games did he play?
Last year?
Yeah.
Only like 15.
Okay,
but it's about the amount.
How many games do you have to play in order to no longer be a rookie?
It's like 150 plate appearances, so like 40 games. So he didn't expire in the regular season last year.
Why is it only apply to the regular season?
Because it's about service time. It's about, like, so if he plays all these games, he shouldn't get penalized or more credit than all the other rookies that didn't have the opportunity to play in the playoffs. It's just a rule. I mean, He was a rookie last year, and he's also a rookie this year. The weird part about the COVID year was just that. Like, it was just
no, it has
weird
nothing
thing.
To do with the COVID year.
What do you mean?
Because this would apply whether it was a COVID year or not.
Yes, but the reason we know him so well and the reason he became such a legend is because he performed so well over the course of a month-long postseason.
Yes, but if he could have done the same thing in a regular postseason.
Sure, but he's also not the first person that's been a rookie in two different playoffs.
I understand that.
He's just
that.
The most notable one.
But you cannot be sitting here talking about how he just had one of the greatest postseasons in the history of the sport, and then this year he's the rookie of the year.
Yeah, because the postseason and the regular season are different. The rookie of the year is a regular season award.
It is a stupid distinction. The distinction is stupid. Bubba, who's right?
Yeah, I mean, this is insane. When you're telling me he was a rookie, I'm like, rookie? This guy was playing all of last playoffs.
Was he the MVP of the playoffs? No, they didn't win the World Series, so he wouldn't be.
He was MVP of the playoff series, yeah.
He was the MVP of a playoff series last year.
I was in here making cuts of him left and right last year. And rookie, what are you talking? It doesn't even make any sense.
How can he be a rookie?
Sometimes you got to just say it doesn't make sense. And this doesn't make sense. He's out.
He doesn't pass the common sense test.
So what doesn't make sense? Are you saying he should be ineligible for the Rookie of the Year award because his team was good enough that he got to play in the playoffs last year?
No,
because he's not a rookie.
Right. He's not a rookie.
He is a rookie.
He's not a rookie.
He was a first-year player last year and a rookie.
How many major league games has he played?
Stand by.
Now, you have to include the 20.
He's ineligible because he's not a rookie.
You have to include the 20.
No, you don't have to include the 20.
Yes, you do.
No, because you have to then compare apples to apples. He needs to be compared to all other rookies and some of the other rookies. Most of the other rookies didn't play in the playoffs.
No, just need to count the number of major league games he has played, and his you have to add 22 because he played in the postseason. This is insane. Nuno, be the arbiter of this.
For a sport that has a lot of dumb unwritten rules, they have some really dumb written rules because this one is one of those.
That is well said. Greeny presented by Progressive Insurance. If your pet passenger is injured in a car accident, get help paying for vet expenses. Pet protection comes free with auto collision coverage. Get a quote at progressive.com. Coming up, Hembo is a bone to pick with me, and it's another one in which he couldn't be more wrong. You'll hear it next. This is Greeny on ESPN Radio.
Greeny, the podcast.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So Randy Arozarena, who is not a rookie by any reasonable standard of measure, had a huge night last night, and I was thinking about his name, and then you, Hembo, told me that what I was thinking we should do with his name has already been done by a friend, Jeff Passan. So hold your phone up to the microphone, and let's hear it.
There's a guy who hits his name Randy Arozarena. Every time he takes a swing, it is a thing, it's cosa buena. Running around the bases, he's as fast as a hyena. Arozarena. Aye!
So that is Jeff Passan. What do you think? Bubba, I cannot be the only person who was thinking, we need an Arozarena spoof.
That's pretty good. That was solid.
We need Joaquin back here. We need the song, because he's a much better singer than Passan was.
He's a rookie.
But it was
he's
a rookie. Oh, under no circumstances is he a rookie. And I think Hembo is just a little bent out of shape. Because he came in today with just a bunch of bones to pick with me. You are just kind of picking on me for no obvious reason. And why is that?
Well, because I've worked with you for a really long time. But it really hasn't struck me until recently that you just do a lot of like annoying old stuff. Like you just do a lot of old stuff. And those things are
by old stuff.
Like Like, these things are just starting to pile up. Okay, so this morning, for example, I described to you this really good article I read on ESPN.com in which Zach Lowe ranked all the NBA teams by tiers.
Right.
So rather than ask me to send you the link to the article, you asked me to print the article.
Yes.
Like 12 pages of script. Why did you need me to print the article when I could have just texted you the article?
I believe this could be scientifically proven. It is my fervent belief that people comprehend things better when they read them on paper than they do when they read them on their phone or online. I would be willing to bet anything. And in fact, I'm delighted that I have Bubba here today, because many of you may not know this. But prior to his work in radio production, Bubba was actually a psychoanalyst and understands these things about the way that the brain works. Bubba, is it accurate to say that people comprehend things better when they read them on a printed page rather than on a screen?
Oh, yeah. We did multiple studies in Switzerland, Sweden, Finland. We did a bunch of things.
All of the Nordic countries.
Why only in Scandinavia?
Don't worry about why.
That's where this work is done.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Stupid question.
Exactly.
All the science points to that being true. It's not even close.
So that's your first quarrel with me. What's your next one?
Okay, so not only do you... Let me ask you in the form of a question. Do you still get a hard copy of the newspaper every day or every weekend?
Not every day. I get the Sunday Times delivered. Half of it comes on Saturday, and then the other half comes on Sunday.
I thought so, because a couple weekends ago, you took a picture of the newspaper that you were reading. So not only do you not just have a digital subscription to the New York Times, you get it delivered, and then you decided to take a picture of
it? People, by the way, completely misconstrued that. There was an article written by Michael Greenberg in the book section, and I took a picture of that and tweeted it, and people started tweeting me, "Oh, you're so arrogant." I'm not the Michael Greenberg who wrote it. It took me aback. There's just someone else with my name out there, or I'm with his name, whatever it is, and I was taken aback because there was one brief moment that I looked at that byline and I thought, wait, did I write this? This is a review of a book I haven't read. And then I realized, oh, wait, it's possible for someone else to have that name. I will say this. This is another thing that I can scientifically prove. Mm. Your generation and all generations to come are missing out on one of life's greatest pleasures. And that is a cup of coffee and a newspaper. It's a pleasure you will never know. It is one I will never cease to enjoy. To my dying day, if they continue to print newspapers, I will continue to read them that way. And there is something about a cup of coffee and a newspaper, not reading it online. There is an experience in reading the paper that I will miss all of my life.
So that was sort of get off my lawny, what you just did. Like, that's an old opinion to have, is it not?
I'm correct.
I mean, you're correct.
I've had any number of experiences that you'll never have. I'm telling you, some of them, it's a loss for the culture. This is one of them. Just being more efficient is not necessarily being better. What's your other thing?
Well, I have several other things, but there's one thing that you've done lately a lot that's bothered me a lot, and that's just, you're just always on the phone. You're just always on the phone. I like texting people. I like putting my order in online. This extra talking is unnecessary.
No,
these things are piling up.
You're wrong again, and I will explain to you why. A few things are meant for texting. Some communication. I'm 5 minutes away, text that. But there is a nuance that is so frequently missed in texting. I'm telling you, more relationships have been ended over people not understanding the punctuation in a text and thus misunderstanding the entire tone of the text. When you text, you lose nuance. I'm telling you, adopt this or it will cost you your marriage. We'll be right back.
Thanks for listening to Greeny the Podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio and see it with the video on ESPN Plus. Also catch Greeny on Get Up weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN and also available wherever you get your podcast.